God is so, so good. So I know the pastor said you got 20 minutes, so we praise God for that clock right there. So, but I will not be before you long. I will not be before you long. I know you're like, okay, how? Because some of y'all, my reputation precedes me. Y'all know I'm the lead pastor of True Vision Christian Community here in Lancaster, as well as now in Columbus, along with my lovely wife. And we are of the, what I like to call, energetic side of the cross. But, you know, the beautiful thing is I love a good liturgy. I love being in a high liturgy space. I love when I realize the value of order and the value of strategic placement of everything. Because God is a God of decency and order. So sometimes it's nice to be able to sit and sing a hymn or two and to really think about the significance of why we do what we do. So you're like, okay, so how is a charismatic man like you doing in a church like this? Well, let me give you some background. I grew up in they said they were non-denominational, they were Pentecostal Apostolic Holiness all wrapped up into one. The church I grew up in, initially called Fellowship of Love Church, was a group of people who were Baptists and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And they decided we're gonna have us church. We's gonna have us a church, and they had a church, and the church still exists today now as Judah Christian Community, which is a multicultural expression of the kingdom of God. So I have this Pentecostal Apostolic Holiness tradition. And then for my freshman and sophomore year of high school, I went to a little school in Columbus called St. Francis DeSales High School. Have y'all heard of DeSales? They have a really good sports program, but they also have a strong focus on faith in the Catholic tradition. And in that space, a lot of my theology that I had learned in the church was either challenged or enhanced. So that way I understand some things about the Bible that people who typically came from my experience might not even know. And then I went to a little college called Ohio Northern University that was loosely affiliated with the Methodist Church, but we still had chapel. And I got to be able to be steeped in the Methodist tradition. And then while I was at Ohio Northern, I was the contemporary worship leader at St. John's, now Evangelical Church, which was a United Church of Christ congregation. And serving on the pastoral team taught me the value of strategic liturgy, the value of being in the place of worship. Now traveling the world and preaching the gospel, I've preached in clothing stores. I've preached in the back. We had church in the back of a store for a little bit ourselves. I've preached in the savannas of Kenya. I've preached in St. Wenceslas Square and in the Czech Republic. And all of those things brought me to this place that when all God's children come together, oh, what a time that will be. When all God's children come together, when all of us are able to sit in the same room and not fight and bicker and stare at each other like, I don't know why you here. Like, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I shared part of this with my students at Hocking. I said that the common thread in my life is to equip people to fulfill their purpose. But in the role of the bishopric, I've been asking myself, God, why this? Why this title? Because it seems like once I became a bishop, life fell apart. That, you know, God began to move and strip some things away, that we went from having a large building to now we're sharing space with my father's church in Columbus, Ohio. And I've been asking God, why? Why me? God said, your mission as a bishop is to bring the church to unity. Because unity is a wonderful thing. We are called the body of Christ for a reason. Because we are called to be an expression of his nature and of who he is. Let's look at the story of Frankenstein. Because so we had Dr. Frankenstein, we had Frankenstein's monster. Did you know the monster really didn't have a name? They should have named him Bob or something. But Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster, and when you read the story, you realize that Frankenstein's monster is the reflection, is the foil of the doctor. Now you're going to go back and read it a little bit differently. And the doctor piecemealed this thing, this monster together. And all the monster wanted was Frankenstein's love. He wanted the love of a father. But when we look at ourselves as the body of Christ, we are called to be knit together. There can be no what? Schism in the body. There can be no division in the body. The Bible says, do not let jealousy be among you. Don't let hatred be among you. But the reality is, in the 2023 church, in the spaces that we sit in, we sit so divided. And we call Sunday the most segregated day of the week. That's interesting. Even in 2023, it's the most segregated day of the week because we have become a narrative of division. If we have all these people, we have like people who just want to be the hand. I know Halloween just ended. I don't want to be the thing running around all over the place. People want to be the eye. They want to be like, I see it. I had a vision. I had a dream. Okay, that's all fine and good. But you need your eyelids to blink, otherwise you're going to dry out. People want to be the feet, but what's good as a foot if you don't have a leg and a knee attached to it? You're just sitting there. We have to realize that as the body of Christ, we are better together. We are better together. In the spaces that I run in, I'll be completely honest, we get very, very sheltered because we just want to be with us, all just us and nobody else. And that is contrary to the heart of God. Because we all see God differently. We all see God. My grandfather, Pastor Gerald Rice, does something beautiful that he'll stand in the middle and have people stand around him and they'll say, tell them, what do you see? Based just from your perspective, what do you see? We might have to fire this light. Are we good? Great. All right. So what do you see? And it's almost like, I see his face. Okay, I see his side. He has on a watch and a ring on this side. I just see the back of his head. I just see this side. He has another ring on his hand, and you know they look at each side. But then what he says is that we're all looking at God because we are bound together by this sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're all looking at God, but in different views. But if you just step to the right, it's the same God, and now you see him from the other perspective. I was thinking about this morning while I was frantically getting ready to get here, that, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you have to understand that the enemy knows the word just as good, if not better, than we do. So he knows that if when two or three come together in Jesus' name, he shall be in the midst. It's not two or three Methodists, two or three Pentecostals, two or three Presbyterians, two or three Mennonites. No, it does. If you believe in Christ, if you say that Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith, that it counts for you. It's indicative of what praise does, that when we create praise, we create an echo chamber because we're speaking to one another. And as we speak to one another, that creates the mercy seat where God can dwell therein. But when we are fighting against each other, when we are walking in division, when everything seems to be an argument, we cannot function as the body. And I want to give you some advice as someone who works with college students for a living, that this next generation is not running from the cross. They want God. They desire. They want a tangible experience with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But when you have the hands over here with the hands and the feet just flopped on the floor because they can't move, got an eyeball just floating like the eye of Sauron. When your hair is over there in wig form. It's true. Don't be ashamed of it. It's true. Even the voice, the vocal cords is somewhere. But people forget that we need to be interconnected to function. The voice needs air. The voice needs to be in the windpipe to be effective. The hand can only do so much, but it needs a wrist. It needs the elbow. It needs the shoulders. The master creator has put us together in such a way that everything is interdependent upon each other. And when something is missing, the whole body notices and tries to compensate for it, but it will never be the way that it should be. It's a good thing. Psalms 133, it's a good thing. How good and pleasant it is for brethren, all of us, to dwell together in unity. And it talks about, it was like the oil falling upon Aaron's head and on his beard. So if you understand how they anointed the priest back then, it wasn't a little cross on your head and go your merry way. They took all that oil and they poured it over their head and it ran down. It ruined the garment. But it was a sign of God's glory. So I'm going to drop some wisdom on y'all that you're going to be like, what? The charismatic guy said that? Yes. Glory is not so much, and if you see on my neck of the woods, people are like jumping up and down and flipping and flopping. That's them. Half of them being just being athletic anyway, so we're just going to leave that alone. But the concept of glory in the Greek is the word doxa, and I love this word because it means God's weight, God's approval. That glory is not a spasm. Glory is a heaviness. Glory is a covering. And as they poured the oil upon the priest's head, it is a sign of God's approval of what they're doing. When we come together, we see God's approval. We see God favor us. When we come together, we can see a world be changed. Not just about salvation, not just so much everybody gets saved, but the atmosphere has to change because we are the children of God. And we have authority through the sonship of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So we have to realize that we are better together now in these days as we're trying to figure out, as we saw what happened in the ballots, as we see what's happening in the country, that the usual tactics that have worked before don't work anymore. And what do we need to do? And my prayer is that we use this as an opportunity to look at each other and say, I need what you got, you need what I got. So guess what? Let's come together. We don't, because unity is not about uniformity. That's something that we have forgotten. That unity, the concept of unity, does not mean uniformity. Unity means that we have a common goal, we have a common thing, we are working together, and I will use my gifts, you use your gifts, they use their gifts, and we come together to fulfill the kingdom mission. That's unity. Unity means being accountable to one another. Discipleship. He's trying to run away again. Discipleship is not so much follow me. Discipleship is we are accountable to each other. And accountability is sometimes not me looking at you going, did you sin today? That's not accountability, that's guilt. Accountability means you have something. You can handle this. Let me step back. I know you well enough to know this is not my anointing, this is not my calling. Let me step back and let you handle this, and I will support you. Then when the time comes, we are going to swap. One of my prayers for Lancaster, because I was sharing with one of my students, is that I am the anomaly when it comes to churches, because I'm willing to come into a space like this, but I have no problems going to a storefront and tearing up. No problem. Because God has used my unique experiences to see the value and the worth of the expressions of Christ. Because expression is cultural. Let me say that again. Expression is cultural. And if we're called to be a united church, we have to understand that each culture, each expression has something of worth and value to bring. You might not agree on everything, praise God. You might Because people tend to major in the minors. What do you mean by that? People tend to focus on the things that really don't matter in the end. People focus on your politics. People focus on how you sing, how you don't sing, how you take communion. You get baptized in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, you got me? All right. Amen. Hallelujah. See, that's what happens when you're saying something and it's like, oh, you won't hear me today. You won't hear every piece of this message. But we have to realize the reality of the situation is this, that we cannot sit here and fight over the little things. If you nitpick over the little things, you will never get anywhere. And the reality is this, that we do not have time to sit here and argue. We don't have time. We don't have time to sit here. Well, you should have, we do not have time. Because there is a world that is yet craving the presence and power, and most of all, the relationship that comes with knowing Jesus Christ. The world needs what we have. How do you know this? People walk into my office. I have a nice office at work. I went from a jail cell to like a two-office suite. Hallelujah, glory to God. The other office is the print room, so I gotta take 5 steps to get something from the printer, and I can print in color. Hallelujah. But I've had multiple people walk into my office and say, my office is the most peaceful place on campus. I'm never in there. Y'all, my students agree, I'm never in there. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit is in there. And the Holy Spirit is not about charismata. The Holy Spirit is about governing ourselves to be able to walk in honor. All of us are filled with His Spirit because we have the heart and the nature of God. And when people know where the heart and nature of God is, they don't run from it, they run to it. My office has become a place of healing. It's weird watching 40-year-old men crying at your desk. But it's needed. People of all different faiths, different walks coming into a space knowing this is where God is. And I don't bicker with them. I don't fight with them. I love them. If we can be like that to people who are outside of the faith, we need to be the same to one another. The world is looking for a whole body. And my prayer has been this: God, make it so in my lifetime. Even in this city, again, I'm an anomaly. I will hop around to churches. If you call me, I'm gonna come. Even if it means just sitting in the back and just hanging out, that's fine. Because I'm with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's what matters. We say that we want things to be on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm closing here. We pray, on earth as it is in heaven. See, heaven has a little bit of everybody. Race is not a thing. Ethnicity is not a thing. The denominations, they don't have a Baptist church over here. They don't have all these churches. It's not like Cleveland Avenue in Columbus where I grew up, where it's like church, 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 house, church, 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 hair salon. That we are all, if you've been to Columbus, you already know that that it's not even like Lancaster. We are in a line of 1, 2, 3 churches. It was 4 because our church office used to be right there. We got churches that way, churches, church to the left of us, church to the right of us. Heaven is going to be all of us together. We're going to be so busy worshiping, we're not going to care. We're going to be so busy worshiping, we're not going to care. My prayer in my lifetime, and I plan on living a long, I want my full 120 years, God. I'm just putting it out there right now. Give me all the years. My family has some longevity. My great-grandfather lived to be 112, so there's hope.
My hope in my lifetime is that we get this point, that we realize that we are better together, and that all of our expressions coming together creates a full picture of the of who God is and the heart of God. Because when the body comes together, the mind, we cannot take the place of the mind of God. We cannot take the place of the heart of God. We can't take its place. So when the body comes together, we will truly be able to be a full body. It's his heart. His mind, his heart. That's when I did that. They believe that the heart used to be the seat of thought. That's why we talk about the heart a lot in the Bible. His heart, his mind. So we, as the body of Christ, may walk in his ways. Amen. God bless you.